Second coming of the Messiah, important Islamic belief. Belief in the second coming of the Messiah has been held from before the time of Islam. It existed centuries before the advent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad as part of the Mosaic tradition. But in Islam, the second coming of the Messiah has been taught so systematically and determinately that we are obliged to regard it as one of the important beliefs of Islam. Factors which have strengthened and systemized the Islamic belief are the following. 1. The promised Messiah, according to Islamic teaching, was to come at a time marked also by the advent of a Mahdi. True, in other traditions we are told that the Mahdi is none other than the Messiah. But belief in the simultaneous appearance of the Mahdi and the Messiah led Muslims as a people to regard the coming of the Messiah as the coming of a great fellow believer, not the coming of a stranger. 2. The advent of the Messiah is described in Muslim traditions as the advent of a new era in the advancement of Islam. The conquest of other faiths by Islam was to wait on the coming of the Messiah. It was to be initiated by the Messiah. 3. The Messiah and the Mahdi being one and the same person, the coming of the Messiah has seemed like the coming of the Holy Prophet himself. The first believers in the Messiah, like the first believers in the Holy Prophet. Descriptions of this kind created a great longing for the second coming in the hearts of the Holy Prophet's devotees. 4. The promised Messiah was to render Islam a great service at a time of great difficulty. The time is described in the most fearful terms in the Hadith. A time of unparalleled danger. It was to shake Islam to its very foundations. Then was the promised Messiah to come and make Islam secure against its enemies. These descriptions led Muslims to await the advent of the promised Messiah as an angel of mercy. Had not the Holy Prophet said, "Nothing can avail against a community which has me at one end and the Messiah at the other." Such powerful words invested the advent of the promised Messiah with special importance and filled the hearts of Muslims with great expectations. The coming of the Messiah was to strengthen Islam on all sides and make it proof against attacks. These factors have combined to make the advent of the Messiah a great event in the later history of Islam. This event was to help Muslims to witness again an image or imitation of the Holy Prophet himself. It was also to mark the restoration of Islam to safety. It was impossible to promise such an event without pointing to the signs which would show when it was to take place. The coming of reformers and messengers is often described in religious books. Such descriptions are always metaphorical, literal descriptions being useless for the promotion of spiritual merit. If the signs indicating the time of a reformer are described in minute detail, and the detail is to be taken literally, there can be no distinction between a believer and a non-believer. In the presence of such descriptions, the question whether a claimant is genuine or not makes little sense. Descriptions of coming reformers have to be veiled so as to rouse men of faith and goodwill to honest curiosity. They ponder over the signs and are able to reach the truth. The mischievous and the ill-intentioned are able to find excuses for their refusal to believe. When the sun is at the zenith, nobody thinks it a merit to believe in its presence. Such belief has no reward. In the matter of reformers and messengers, the way of God has been not to guide beyond a certain point. A thin veil hangs over prophetic descriptions so that their truth is as easily denied as affirmed. When we consider prophecies about the time of the promised Messiah, we must keep this principle in view. These prophecies are couched in language in which prophecies of the appearance of reformers and messengers have always been couched in religious books. This does not in any way reduce the value of those descriptions for seekers after truth. The signs mentioned in the prophetic literature are nevertheless illuminating. He who believes in a single prophet on the basis of reason and whose faith in that prophet is not the result of family or community prejudice can obtain all the guidance he needs from these signs. Those who apparently believe in many hundreds of prophets but do not believe in a single one on the basis of reason will find it difficult to believe in any true messenger of God, though he should appear with endless signs. Such persons do not believe of their own accord. Their belief is given to them by their ulama or religious teachers, by parents or grandparents. Since they have never seen a prophet in the flesh and have never believed in one on the basis of reason, they find it difficult to recognize a new prophet and to believe in him through a free consideration of his claims. Such persons cannot see the truth of a prophet unless they rub their eyes first. They must clear their eyes of dust and rise above man-made beliefs and prejudices if they wish to perceive the truth of a true prophet.